We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we should tell you about a developing story. And I just want to give you a heads up because you know other media agencies will be all over this. One suspect in custody after a shooting at an Indiana middle school. Two victims reported there. An active shooter situation at Noblesville West Middle School in Indiana, not far from where I used to live in Indianapolis. We understand by the information here, two people in critical condition following this incident. The victim's an adult and a 13-year-old, 13-year-old girl. School on lockdown and the fire department and police still on the scene. So this story obviously will be getting attention throughout the day. Before we go to our guest, I want to play a quick clip for you. Last weekend, we had the royal wedding. And during the course of that wedding, there was a message from Bishop Michael Curry. I want you to listen to just a portion of it. Charles Jenkins thought it would be appropriate to share this for part of Faith Focus Friday, and I think it's a great lead-in to our conversation. Here it is.
Love is not selfish and self-centered. Love can be sacrificial. And in so doing, becomes redemptive. And that way of unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive love changes lives. And it can change this world. If you don't believe me, Just stop and think for imagine. Think and imagine. Well, think and imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and families when love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce when love is the way. Imagine this tired old world when love is the way. When love is the way, unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive, when love is the way, then no child will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields.
The words there of Bishop Michael Curry, speaking during the royal wedding last weekend. A great lead-in as he talks about unselfish, sacrificial, and redemptive love. A great lead-in to our conversation with Wayne Jacobson. He's written a great book that's called Beyond Sundays. And chapter 11 is a very interesting chapter that speaks about drawing lines that are not really necessary. Welcome back to the broadcast, Wayne.
Thanks, Vince. Great speech by that pastor, wasn't it?
It was. It was indeed. I want to jump right in and talk about this issue of lines because this begins in the church. That's really the starting place. And my wife made an interesting observation about this years ago. She said, you know, I used to see, you know, people put fish in the back of their car, you know, the ichthus, the symbol of Christians. And, you know, for years, that's what people would put on their cars. Now it's such and such church. And, you know, and I think this is kind of symptomatic of where we are, where we have to get into all these labels, Wayne. This is really what you're talking about, isn't it?
It's a part of it. It's the Jesus asked us, the one thing he asked us to do was love each other like he loved us, like you just played the clip of. It was meant, love was meant to change the world. For some reason, as we arrive at the 21st century here, we're more concerned about drawing lines. Which church do you go to? What denomination you're in? What group do you affiliate with? And our group's better than your group. We know more. We have it better. We have it right. And it's all that division where we've just drawn lines to try and figure out who is truly, truly saved and who is only maybe sort of saved. And it's just divided the body of Christ. And part of writing this book was to help people let go of those lines and recognize Christ in each other, not by what church you go to or don't go to, but by the power of the Spirit that dwells in the people we're relating to. And that it doesn't matter what church they go to or which one they don't.
How do we begin pulling back these layers, Wayne?
We've got to find something, I think, more real in our own personal journeys. I think people who struggle with this stuff, their whole identity as a Christian is locked into the club they belong to, the identifier behind the denomination or the church or the pastor they follow. So if that's your identifier, then you're going to struggle with, you know, who's, if they're part of the same identifier I have, then we're good, we have unity together, and if people have it another way, then they're not. So the personal journey of an individual who's engaging Christ in a meaningful way will be able to recognize that Christ in other people around them, no matter what church they go to or don't. And it's that presence of Christ that needs to be our focus again, which is best expressed in what you just played. It's best expressed in the way people love each other. That's how you know where Christ dwells. Those who love live in God. That's what John wrote in 1 John 4.
So part of this for us is we've got to focus on our identity in Christ rather than titles, labels, things like that.
And stop drawing lines. Like the book is about, you know, the number of people who have left organized churches on Sunday mornings. And they haven't left their faith. They've continued to grow. But there's now new lines being drawn. You're not a true Christian if you don't go to church. And some who've left are saying you're not a true Christian if you go, because it's so politicized now and it's so focused on institutional priorities. And the fact is, Jesus makes himself known everywhere. And it's more important to focus on him. And if we would stop drawing lines, you know, I can be close to you because you go to the same church I do, instead of just love everyone God puts in your path today. And watch what even the world, we don't even have to exclude the world from that love. Just love everybody God puts in your path today and watch what he does in the world.
We only have about a minute or so left in this segment. I was thinking about this earlier, that one of our temptations is to get caught up in identifying sins, you know, outside the church. Well, this person has this particular sin. You know, if they're outside of Christ, does it really matter?
Well, of course not. I mean, the biggest thing they need is to know him. 2 Corinthians 5 says, God's no longer counting our trespasses against us. That should have finished it right there. The cross removed God's need to count sin, and yet we still do. Because the hope of our freedom for sin is not counting it and trying to do better or excluding ourselves from people who struggle with sin. Our freedom from sin comes in the very thing we just talked about living inside of Christ and living in his love. That will displace sin from our lives. So God's not counting anymore. Why are we?
Very good question. For those interested in learning more about Wayne Jacobson and your books and ministry,
Lifestream.org will help them find everything they need.
Lifestream.org. Wayne Jacobson, always great talking to you again. Have yourselves a great weekend. God bless you.
Thank you, Vince. God bless you.
What are your thoughts on this subject? What about those identities that we cling to and make so much of a big deal about? Do we realize sometimes the division that causes? What are we willing to cast aside? I'm not saying we compromise, whatever. You know, what are we willing to take away from these titles and labels that so easily divide us? Let's talk about it. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock on the Vince Coakley radio program, we told you just a few minutes ago about a developing news story, and that's about a shooting that happened in an Indiana middle school. Two victims reported there. I understand there's going to be a news conference shortly. If we are able to, we'll try to bring that to you. Our understanding is two people were in critical condition. We have an adult and a 13-year-old female. That's the information that we have so far. We'll keep you posted on this story as there are developments. Had an interesting discussion there on Faith Focus Friday, Wayne Jacobson talking about avoiding the pitfall of making unnecessary lines, drawing unnecessary lines to divide us, which is something that increasingly I'm trying to be more watchful of. Let's go out to a call from Corey, starting with Corey. Good morning. Welcome.
Hey, Mr. V, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Mr. V, if you need to cut me off, I totally understand. Now, I'm trying not to get too emotional because this is very hurtful. For years, as a child, and I'm 46, as of May the 8th, my birthday, I'm 46. My mom has never forced us to go to church, Baptist, Christian, Kingdom Halls, synagogues, none of them. And we could never understand that as children, why we couldn't go to Sunday school with the cousins, or why we couldn't go to Bible classes with the others that we were growing up with. My mom just got out of hospital 4 days ago with heart failure and a stroke. And I couldn't understand why her sisters wouldn't come see her. And when my mom said they're Jehovah's Witnesses because I would not get baptized, because I rebelled against the religion as a child, they always treated me like a black sheep. And to see her hurting, to just to have her sisters come hug her and hold her and say, we love you. As kids, it's hurtful to us. Religion has always been a factor in my mind. Why do we say God bless America versus God bless the world? Why do we have 14 churches on one block for one community? Why do so many churches have extravagant constructions, but yet the people in the community are living in poverty? Why do so many politicians, athletes, entertainers holler about their Christians, but yet there's so many people in this world starving and non-clothed? So many veterans need help. How can we be Christians and not do the Christian thing? So it's conflicting for the youth. They don't understand it. They don't want to get part of it. So religion back in school will not stop guns. Religion back here will not stop anything. I think us as a people, in our hearts, will stop this stuff. And I thank you so much just for listening to me, Mr. V.
Corey, I'm kind of curious how you have worked this out in your own life.
Yes, sir.
What you have shared here, because, you know, it's really moving what you've shared about your mother's experience. Have you been able to resolve these things in your own life, in your own journey?
My own children, I try to explain to them, find love within your heart. You don't have to go inside a church. You don't have to go to a synagogue, mosque, whatever. As long as you make right and peaceful within your heart, you will do right by others. But when you have evil and intent in your heart, evil and intent things will come. That's just as basic as I can explain it to my children. And they don't get up and question, Daddy, are we going to church on Sunday? They don't do it. They just say, Dad, we love you. We love God. And we're going to do the best things that we can do in our life. And that's all I can ask of my children.
Well, I appreciate your call there, Corey. Thanks a lot for calling and sharing this. And, man, I understand what he shared there and the fact that so many times we unfortunately hear these stories of the inhumanity of religion, don't we? Not a good testimony. Not at all. Mark in Rock Hill, good morning.
Oh, Corey kind of stole my thunder, so I'll bring it back from another perspective. I grew up in quite the heterodoxy, you could say that in a small rural town, there was a very small group of professionals, small businessmen, and faithful, devout teachers that went to a evangelical fellowship that started a coffee house that was one of the longest running ones in the mid 70s through about 1981, geared for about age 14 to 21. As an alternative. So when it comes to point of that, it started by religious people the leaders just had a heart for kids. And it's the kids getting able to come from the different backgrounds And, yeah, periodically during the school years, it had something like a topic at 10, a interactive Bible study facilitated by one of the leaders or someone that was completing Bible college. And so we learned how to talk to each other rather than to talk at each other. And the program, that lasted me through college, so I sought out peers who talked like I did. Labels aside, we're here to do one thing, and that is support each other in the academic in the academic environment and pursue our respective bachelor's degrees. And some of my best friends understand the problem I'm having establishing a really finding a church home where people are just interested in just steamrolling you into some kind of mold, in using the analogy of a foundry mold, you know. So that's all I had to say.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Mark. I do appreciate your call. And what you said, it's really a lot because this is, unfortunately, what ends up happening. Some atmospheres are such they produce clones. You know, I was in one of those atmospheres where, you know, so many times I saw young men try to act like the leaders of the church. And they really lost their own personalities and identities in the process. It was really kind of disgusting to watch, to be honest with you. I get it. Definitely get it. 28 minutes after 11 o'clock, a couple of callers on the line. Let me encourage you, please hold. We will try to get to you in a bit here. I did also tell you that story from the first hour, an incredible settlement in a rape case. This one, the amount is going to blow your mind. It's way up there. That much more as we continue the broadcast 29 minutes after 11 o'clock. 36 minutes after 11 o'clock on the Vince Coakley radio program, I told you I would share with you an incredible story about a settlement award in a rape case. Those of you waiting to talk with us, just hold on for a bit. We will get to you. This story, reported out of Atlanta, a Clayton County jury has reached a record-breaking decision. A woman who was raped by a security guard when she was a teenager, she's been awarded a $1 billion with a B, $1 billion verdict against the rapist's employer. Hope Cheston is the victim. She said, "I was 14, who took my childhood from me. The guard I identified in the lawsuit, Brandon Lamar Zachary, he's now in prison after pleading guilty. A judge has already determined Zachary's employer, Crime Prevention Agency, was liable." How's that for irony? This guy was working as a security guard at an apartment complex in Jonesboro, Georgia, October 2012, when he raped this woman, this girl, 14 years old. She was visiting her best friend that lived there. She was there for a sleepover and a birthday party. The $1 billion jury award is historic, but obviously it doesn't fix the harm that's been done, and it's likely she'll never see this money. This is going to be appealed. They're going to reduce this amount. But the attorney says this is really not about money. It's about what 12 people in the state of Georgia said a victim of rape is worth. They said a little black girl in Clayton County who was raped is worth $1 billion. That was a big win for us. Pretty extraordinary, don't you think? Man, 14 years old. Getting your thoughts on what we've discussed in this hour, which is about love and how we walk that out and how we take away the focus on identifying labels. There's a place for labels, but when they become tools of division, that's where they become destructive, starting with those of us who say we are Christians. We have so many dividing lines, and I would dare say unnecessary dividing lines. Let's go out to a call from Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right, sir.
That's good. This is something I've noticed about Memorial Day. I think some people have forgotten what it's all about. One of the local hospitals has a banner in front. they're having a Memorial Day celebration. And one of the advertising blurbs that came in the paper the other day said, Happy Memorial Day. And I'm thinking that they've forgotten what the day is about.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? You know, it is kind of intriguing that this is a time when, you know, it's become kind of there's a lot of commercial aspects to this. I think that's really what you're decrying here, right, Bob?
Right.
And how we lose sight of this is the time to recognize the loss of lives. The loss of lives. People who have laid their lives down to protect us. And we need to be reminded of that for sure. Bob, I do appreciate your call. Let's go out to Shannon in Shelby. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It broke my heart hearing about that fella talking about his mom wouldn't take him to church. It really did. I have a friend whose son was dying of HIV, of AIDS, a long time ago, and his church told him to throw down his medications. He did, and he was almost about to die and started taking his medications again, and he didn't make it. It was too late.
Oh, my goodness.
Now his sister won't have anything to do with any churches at all. There are a lot of cults out there. There are a lot of cults and false religions. And I've been amazed at the church that I go to. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. That wasn't a Catholic church. That was his body. He's the head and we're the body. And there's preachers and elders, but we are all just members of the body. And it's sad when I see people stepping up as if they are between us and God. And there's just one church they're supposed to be. And the world's always going to have evil people, greedy people, liars, mislead people.
They're everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere. You're right. Appreciate your call there, Shannon. One thing I would add to your comments, it's not just particular denominations or churches. It's just bad teaching in general. On this health issue, there are so many dangerous things out there. I was hoping to spend more time on this. We probably will at some point, and maybe have a guest or two on talking about this. Remember I told you earlier in the week, there was a man, I think it was Paige Patterson was his name, dismissed from a Southern Baptist seminary because he was basically making comments. He made some bad comments, but he also, there are indications he gave bad counsel to women who were in abusive situations. Basically, they need to stay and love their husbands. And it's unfortunate to me. It's an abomination. Sometimes the counsel that women have received, and this is one of the reasons why we've had an explosive growth of the women's movement, the so-called women's movement. A lot of them are reacting to the abuse of men, sometimes facilitated by religion. And where this has happened, this needs to stop. Let me just say, because I think this needs to be said, if you're in a situation where you have church leadership is demeaning women and causing women to be left in abusive situations, encouraging women not to report abuse and abuse against children and saying the church leadership will take care of it, run as far away from that place as you possibly can. There may be a person within the sound of my voice right now, this is happening to you, and you've been told, we'll take care of it. We're the leaders. We're providing your covering. Run. Run for your life. Let's go out to a call from Jack. Good morning, Jack.
Yes, a number of years ago, my wife and I wound up, for a variety of reasons, no longer associated with a particular organization, church organization that we've been with, and instead started working with a group downtown that was helping homeless and low-income people. And we put all our effort into that. And a few years ago, we ran into somebody. He said, well, what are you going to church now? We were telling what we were doing. He said, so instead of sitting in the pew saying somebody ought to do something, you're actually doing something.
Here's a novel idea.
I thought that was phenomenal. I'd never thought of it, of course, that way. That was not why I was there to begin with. I was just doing what I thought was right. And it was refreshing to have somebody say that and to reinforce what we were doing. And I think a lot more people ought to be doing that instead of using the excuse of the church doesn't do this, the church doesn't do that, whatever.
Yep, you've made a great point here. This is about individuals acting, walking out their faith. That's what really matters, not just having all kinds of eternal discussions about it. It's 44 minutes after 11. 49 minutes after 11 o'clock, final stretch of the Vince Coakley radio program for this holiday weekend. By the way, we told you about the story some weeks ago. You remember all the attention that's been on the animal issues for one particular airline, and there has been a settlement. A settlement with United Airlines. Remember the little Frenchie that was put in the bin, in the overhead bin? United Airlines has settled with that family, whose 10-month-old French bulldog, Coquito, died in an overhead bin. They've reached a settlement with the family. The amount of dough that United's paying out in this is confidential, according to the family's attorney. The family did threaten to sue after the flight attendant allegedly ordered the family to put the dog in the overhead compartment. After 2 hours of barking, the dog died of suffocation. This was a PR crisis for United. But we can tell you there has been a settlement. Thought you would be intrigued to find out about this. Steve in Charlotte, good morning.
Good morning. Hello?
What are your thoughts, sir?
Hey, Vince. I was listening to you. I just caught the tail end, but I wanted to maybe take a different tact on this running. When women find that, if they find that kind of bad advice in a church, I think we're supposed to be, maybe we're supposed to be soldiers for God. And I think maybe the time for running is what weakens the church. And I think if I had a daughter in that situation, I would tell her, if you find yourself in some, with that kind of advice, then find other people in that church and help change the church instead of.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen, Steve. Most of the time. I hear what you're saying. Now, let me just add this. I embrace your counsel in terms of, yes, perhaps finding some other people, some other friends, if they're willing to stand with her. My experience is they side with the pastor and the leadership.
Well, then of course you're gonna bail. But my goodness, somewhere in here, strong Christians have to start standing up. And
they don't, Steve. My experience over and over again is that people bow down at the foot of the pastor and the pastoral leadership. I've seen this so many times, it sickens me, Steve. This is why I'm saying...
It hurts me to hear you say that. I'm sorry.
I hear you. And please understand, I'm not knocking anybody when I say this.
Yeah, I got you.
But most of the atmospheres where this is taught... There is this, they also teach, as we were talking last week with Wayne Jacobson, this covering doctrine. You need to follow your pastoral leadership, the covering of your pastoral leadership, the covering of your husband, covering of this, covering of that. And you have these layers of so-called authority, which is false authority. And so most of the time, these women end up just cowering and suffering in silence.
Instead of following the Lord and letting Him lead, we're letting
Yes.
We're letting guys run the show, and we need to stay with the Lord on this stuff.
Yes, Steve, and you get it, and I know you do, and I appreciate your heart and what you said. I hope you didn't think I was jumping at you, because I'm not, but I'm just so frustrates me, because this is one of the reasons why I do not like cults. I don't like religious cults. And I do not like political cults, because most of the time when people follow cults, they throw other people, they throw their neighbors under the bus for the system. matter what the system is. And it's most hurtful in religious contexts. You've heard a couple of callers on this program today of what happens. Oh, I can't. Oh, gosh, I've got to. I better stay with the church here or they're going to ostracize me.
I think we need to ostracize those guys and keep the Lord in the middle.
You better. Amen to that, Steve. I appreciate your call. Do call again sometime. I'd love to talk with you further. We'll end here with a pithy comment from Gerald, because I'm sure we'll get one. Good morning, Gerald.
Hey, good morning, sir. Hey, Vince, I see where the Boy Scouts are going to be passing out condoms this year at their national convention. I don't know if it's going to be for them to snort, birth control, or are they going to be showing them some Stormy Daniel moves?
What a way to end. Gerald, you are so crazy. You're a nut. Have an enjoyable holiday weekend. By the way, what he's talking about, this is a story in the Washington Times. I'll just briefly tell you. They're going to provide condoms at the upcoming World Scout Jamboree. The World Organization of Scouting Movement Handbook requires the host organization to ensure that condoms are readily and easily accessible for all participants at a number of locations on the site. This is in West Virginia, July 21st to August 1st. The theme is Unlock a New World. And with behavior like this, who knows what else they're going to unlock? God help us. Have yourselves a great weekend while I try to figure out what to do this weekend. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.